Saturday morning, BBC Radio Berkshire, Howard Hughes at your service. And now, by royal command, the man they call the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp, is here. I say by royal command, I mean actually by the boss of BBC Radio Berkshire, but I see royalty and the boss of BBC Radio Berkshire in exactly the same light, Fevzi.
Morning, Howard.
How are you?
You're not saying nothing.
You're not even going to go there, are you? Now, lots to get into, so we better get stuck in. A man who wrote a very authoritative guide to what people should do in setting passwords has decided he got it all wrong. What's this all about?
Okay, so back in 2003, a guy called Bill Burr created an influential set of advice about how we should make our passwords secure. So things like change your password every 90 days, use a sort of combination of uppercase, lowercase numbers and special characters, these sorts of bits of advice. And now he's reflecting on that, because he's a fairly elderly chap now, and he's reflecting on this and saying, well, some of that advice probably wasn't the best advice. And interestingly enough, some of the reasons why it's not the best advice is because of the ways in which human beings circumvented the advice. So, for example, if you force someone to change their password, let's say, as he advised, every 90 days, then the effect of that is that people don't come up with completely new passwords. They come up with variants, like monkey becomes monkey one, and then monkey two, and then monkey three. And that's not very secure.
Well, I'm up to 6 slashes on my BBC password now.
Therein lies the problem, because the more often you make a human change its password, if they're choosing the password themselves, and I'll come to that in a moment, the less secure the password is likely to be in and of itself. Yeah, so it will tend to be shorter, it will tend to be less clever and intricate and less varied from the ones before it. The other problem, for example, again, it is good advice to tell people have a long password and have some combination of uppercase, lowercase letters, numbers and special characters, things like, question mark, hash,
but how whatever. Do you remember them all? That's the thing.
I'll come to that, but what I was going to say to you is websites that then take that advice and say you must have at least 2 numeric characters, you must have at least 1 special character, as soon as they publish those rules, the number of possible passwords is automatically diminished, and therefore any program that's trying to do a brute force attack has an easier job of it, because they know that whatever the password is, it must have at least 2 digits in it, for example. So that's the problem. So the advice wasn't necessarily bad in and of itself, but the way that people circumvented it and implemented it was poor. Now, the way that you solve this problem is, on the balance of risk now, in my opinion, is password manager software. This is software that does essentially 2 things. First of all, it will generate a password for you for each of the websites that you go, so you no longer have this problem of trying to come up with a memorable password, because it, first of all, it generates it for you, and then it remembers it in a secure vault of passwords. Now, that password vault with all your passwords is then protected by 1 master password. That's not enough, because obviously if someone gets the master password, then they've got everything, the keys to the kingdom, as it were. What you then do is something called second factor authentication. So you protect the vault with a password and a second factor. That could be, for example, a text comes to your mobile phone with an additional code.
The problem I've always considered with this is that what happens if that repository of all your passwords and your data gets hacked?
It can be hacked if it's just protected by a simple password or even a complicated password. If they get the 1 password, they get them all. It's just what they call a single point of failure.
But if some clever person finds a way to get into that vault, necessarily using a password, but by some clever manipulation of data, you're in an even worse position, aren't you?
Okay, so there's 2. So just in terms of protecting it, first of all, so that's why you need the second factor, because then that person would also have to have your mobile phone or a dongle that you plug in or some second factor, maybe a fingerprint. It could be anything, but means a password on its own won't get you into the vault. If the password manager stores the master password and all the other passwords on their servers, and some of them do, so that you can access it from different machines, then you need to make sure that it's stored in a highly encrypted form. And properly encrypted data is really you know, quite secure, so it's much less problematic. Secure.
We've got 60 seconds, so we've got to talk about the gadget of the week very quickly. It is the Moshi Simbus, and this is a thing, and it looks quite clever from what I can see, but what do I know?
Yeah,
it turns your netbook laptop into a full-scale PC.
Yeah, so that's right. Essentially, a lot of modern laptops, like MacBooks, for example, have a single port. A single USB-C port, which isn't the same shape or size as USB. And that's great in the sense that it can do lots of things, but you really don't want to be unplugging your power so you can plug in a USB dongle or something like that. So this is a little dock, and the dock gives you a variety of things. It gives you an HDMI port, which will connect to an external screen so you can have 4K video. It's got a gigabit Ethernet port so you can have wired high-speed internet connection. It gives you two conventional USB ports so you can plug in a normal keyboard and mouse and so forth, and it will charge your laptop at the same time. So if you've got one of these MacBooks with a USB-C on it, or indeed another laptop with a USB-C on it, you can have just this one device, which is just under £120, and all you have to do is plug in one cable into your laptop, and it gives you all these additional ports. And yet, when you want to be on the move, you don't have to take it with you if you don't want to.
Nice one, Fevzi. We are out of time. Thanks very much. If people want to shoot the breeze, ask you a tech question, Arkwright, where do they go?
Come and say hello via Twitter. It's @GadgetDetective.
Thank you, Greg Granville. Fevzi Turkup, the Gadget Detective, returns in 7 days from now. Thanks, Fevzi.